B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock
you. Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Mussali Show, broadcasting in Xfinity Studio from Comcast. So, good afternoon. It's Hat Day at the ballpark. I didn't wear a hat last week. I broke the tradition of Thursday hat, so I came back with it today. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, and one of the things, I always look at sports, at least before this happened, as, sports is an entertainment forum, basically, for the consumer. And we rarely think about the player itself, nor do they think about us that much. But now I think both parties have to think of each other. And so here comes Malcolm Jenkins. Now, this is a day after we've got the baseball all settled up with the protocol, which is a lengthy protocol, and we question whether they can pull this off with baseball and players being on the road and whether they're going to self-contain and all that kind of thing. And here comes Malcolm Jenkins with an interesting view today. And he's had views, a lot of political views on a lot of things. He's not afraid to say what he feels. He's always honest. So what he says about football in comparison to the NBA, where they're gonna put him in a bubble situation, he says the NBA is a lot different than the NFL because they can actually quarantine all their players or whoever is going to participate. And he's not wrong there, because we talked about, okay, that you can do that in the NBA. Can you do it in baseball? And we haven't even given enough thought to whether they can do it in football. And every time we talk about football, we're kind of doubtful that they can pull it off with so many people involved and the facilities and the conflicts. And it's a lot harder to control a football situation than it even is a baseball situation. So here comes the monster quote from Malcolm Jenkins. We have to understand football is a non-essential business, and so we don't need to do it. Now, this is a guy that plays football for a living. He's made a lot of money in the game. So if they don't do it this season, he's not going to be hurting. But he's saying the risk, you know, has to be really eliminated before I would feel comfortable with going back. Now, I'm sure that he's not the lone wolf on this issue. I'm sure there are a lot of players that feel like him that don't have the Malcolm Jenkins forum or wouldn't say like Malcolm Jenkins, who's not afraid to say things. So, here's the reverse side of it. If football comes back and all these sports come back, not only do we get satisfaction out of it, and frankly, we need it for our souls, and the other part of it is there are a lot of people that can get jobs back if sports comes back. A lot of people. You just go down the list and see how many people it affects. So, what are we being selfish in wanting sports back without thinking enough about the actual participants of the sport? And should that make us feel bad? Because on one hand, well, there are two reasons that why we should have the sports. The actual enjoyment that'll take us out of the doldrums, because we need entertainment. But also the jobs that will be affected that when sports comes back. Now, the other side of it is, we're expecting these guys to put themselves in the battlefield. And I don't know if we've given enough thought to that part of it and whether we should give it more thought to that part of it. So, Tyrone, I know you have strong feelings about this because you are very concerned about the people being out of work and getting their jobs back and having to sit back and having no income to support their family. So that's a very important part of all this. But we are kind of like ignoring the fact that these guys are going into the cauldron.
You're absolutely right. It's complex. I actually am at the point where I do think pro sports have become essential. I do. But that's the league itself. What I mean is that all the sports leagues should do everything they can to return. And personally, I think so far from what we've seen, NBA gets the highest grade so far. NHL, we don't know all the details yet. MLB, I'm more skeptical. I'm closer on like a C with that because I just don't think as far as a grade. So I think the leagues have a responsibility to try to come back for all the jobs. But I don't think any individual player has any responsibility whatsoever. So in football especially, if Malcolm Jenkins decides not to play, that's the ultimate next man up. He could have gotten hurt in training camp. He could have gotten hurt week one. And the Saints would have to find another safety to play.
Mm-hmm.
The football mentality makes it the easiest when dealing with the virus because they already discard players. The Eagles have a MVP quarterback. He gets hurt. They end up winning the Super Bowl with a backup. Like, the NFL mentality is just different. So I think it's a different question for the league and the players. To me, no player owes me a darn thing when it comes to their safety or their family's safety. And I say that knowing that they make money that I could never imagine. Like, I'm acknowledging mm-hmm. that. They yeah. make way more. But that doesn't mean that their mama or mm-hmm. grandmom should have to die because they make a lot of money and I say so.
No, you're right. So what we're saying here is Malcolm Jenkins is not out of line for saying that because it's his true feelings.
Right.
And he doesn't have to play. But if he feels this way, and he's looked up to, by a lot of people in the league. If he feels that way, I'm sure there are other people that now feel enabled by his comments. They put the truth out. This is my fear all along. I didn't have any standing, nor would people care if I said it. Malcolm Jenkins says it. This is how I truly feel. So there are a lot of guys that may feel the same way, in which case we have a completely diluted product and we're just patchworking to put a sport on. And so how are we supposed to feel about that as a consumer?
NFL, honestly, it's different for me. NBA, if LeBron and top guys, you only have five guys on the floor at once. To me, each sport is different. Baseball, if you lose a left fielder, I don't care. You replace your left fielder. If you lose a pitcher, one, I don't care. I'm still watching. I'm still in. Guys can get hurt. It's when it'll be multiple guys. If there's a mass of quality players in which I care. NFL, to me, it's almost like the players in some way are replaceable. The NFL has set it up that way.
The NFL is replaceable in some positions. However, if you are a star difference maker guy and you feel this way about Malcolm Jenkins, you almost feel that the spotlight, Malcolm Jenkins can kind of hide. The spotlight doesn't shine as hot on him as it does, say, a star quarterback.
Right.
Or a star pass catcher.
Right.
Or a star running back. Somebody who is a dynamic presence on a football team. Those guys probably feel they can't possibly not play because it's going to be so bad for their career that they almost have a gun to their head to play.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm allowing for here. Whether people feel that kind of, because we could be, listen, sometimes we could be hard asses as fans. We go, oh, they don't play. They should be playing for us. But, like, the genuine human emotion comes out. And people, like, I'm scared. And I feel like I don't have a right to be scared because I'm being judged by a fan base that is expecting me to play and will never look at me the same ever again if I don't play. Now, I'm a starting quarterback. I don't feel like playing. I don't want to put my family in jeopardy. So there is the conflict. There's the push-pull.
Right. And as a fan, answer your question, if all the court, Malcolm Jenkins is not a star player. He's no longer with the Eagles. He was an important player, but he's no longer a star player. So far, the NBA guys that have been, who have decided to opt out, they're not star players. If the stars play, I think all the fans are fine. And while it may be diluted because on a football team, many times the guy, your backup defensive tackle could end up being hugely important over a season. But for a fan, I think as long as the stars show up.
Yeah, I totally get that. What I'm asking is it fair for us to expect the star to show up?
It's way out of line. It's way out of line.
Yeah.
It's way out of line.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting to here. Do we have to think a little harder on this? Because our life will go on merrily along. If sports comes back, we go, ha-ha, we got our sports back, right? We're not thinking of the other side. It's like some guys are going to feel like they have a gun to their head because they can't possibly, if they're important marquee guys. We talked about this the other day. If Ben Simmons decided that he didn't want to play in this continued NBA, we would hold that against them.
They have to trade him.
Yeah.
If
Bryce Harper did that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? These guys don't have a choice. And so there's a helplessness that's set. I don't want to get all carried away with, because I rarely like, I'm pro fan more than I am pro player. But I you know, if Malcolm Jenkins is saying this, there are other people that are thinking this. And there are also other people that are thinking, I'm putting my family in jeopardy here, but I'm the starting quarterback. I can't possibly bail out, even though I want to bail out. And that's a tough position to put somebody in.
It's an impossible one to put people in. And but it's the reality. If Carson Wentz decided to opt out because he has a young child, or Bryce Harper, who now has a pregnant wife and a small child, we should understand that we're too bloodthirsty to do so.
All right, this is what I want to touch on today. Do you look at yourself as bloodthirsty? Or is this something that you've never thought about before? And now it comes to light because a marquee guy is saying, this is a non-essential business. We don't really need to do it. Do you have any empathy for that viewpoint as a consumer, as a fan? If not, why not? If you do, tell us why. And we'll have a discussion here, because it's one thing that we sit here and we get all giddy about sports returning because we get a gift. It's another thing where we almost expect that there are robots out there playing and they're not human. So let's hear from you. 610-632-0975. That's Hey Climb In. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
I'm Mike Mussinelli Show, and the 2 o'clock hour, of course, is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor, you can visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's start our Twitter poll. Paul B. Moyer & Sons brings us the Twitter poll. If you're looking for new outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown is the place to go. They have it all. You can order online, check out all their inventory at paulbmoyer.com, or just give them a call and you can pick it up with the contactless to pick up in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Eganoff, how are you?
Peachy, Mike. Thank you very much. Today's poll, Malcolm Jenkins says sports aren't essential businesses. Is he correct? 62% say yes. Sports are a luxury. 22% say no. Sports are essential. 12% say it depends.
I got to be honest with you. I'm probably going to feel guilty. This is like a guilty pleasure. It's like eating ice cream at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no good for you and you feel bad about it.
Right.
I can't help but feel bad about it now.
I know. Well, that's just the human response.
I'm trying to feel for the other side, though, because there is another side to it, because there's a lot of people that can gain employment through this. But it's like we're making players guinea pigs. And I guess the easiest retort is to say, well, they should be guinea pigs. They make all this money. So I want to judge people's feel. If you've never thought about this before, and we haven't thought about a lot of things until it's brought right in front of our face. So here it is. I'm bringing it right in front of your face. Should we feel guilty about this? Because we're looking at this and we go, all right, the NBA, we're pretty much confident that they could pull that off. The other sports we've talked about, except for the NHL, they probably pulled off too. But baseball and football, we at no point have expressed confidence that they can pull this off.
Yeah. So the quarterback. Let's say you're a quarterback who's worried, and the NFL says, "Oh, don't worry, quarterbacks." I know we say we're testing everybody every 3 days. Yeah. You get tested every day. Let's say they do a week. Here's my issue. I'm not talking about Kelsey specifically. I'm saying Carson Wentz. He has to be right up under the butt of his center. He has to be right in the huddle. Now, I know they talked about they're possibly talking about putting something in the helmets for everybody so they wouldn't have to huddle. The coach could talk to the player so they wouldn't have to breathe directly in each other's faces. They're talking about that. But let's say you have to huddle.
Yeah.
If any of those players went out on their one-off day, which is usually Tuesday, if any of those players went out to an indoor place and got it, that person can now be transferring it to you.
Well, exactly.
And that's why the NBA, I trust more because they're in a bubble.
Yes.
You're giving these guys this freedom. How do I know that you're not bringing it into the locker room, into the meeting room, because you decided to go out second string, number six wide receiver, number five wide receiver, and bring it into the room. So now I have to talk to you, and you brought me the virus when I was being responsible. I was home with my kids. You know what I mean? Like, that's the part that, like, they're just saying we hope. You got to give me more than that.
That's what I mean. And like, because we haven't discussed it in those terms. It's like the hope that they could pull it off. Like, and then we go, every time we discuss the protocol, okay, here's the plan. Here's how they're going to do it. What do? We pick it apart. We go, well, what about this? And what about that? And what about this thing over here? What about that thing over here? We have like 10 questions to every piece of protocol that supposedly is going to keep everybody safe. So you ask people, and they go, we really need sports. And I go, okay, is that the best reason to do it? Because we really need it?
No.
For our souls?
I mean, no, and it's something when you think about the players, this is not what they signed up for when they agreed to be a professional athlete. They didn't agree to necessarily play through a global pandemic, and it's one of those things where everybody's making adjustments. However, it's greater than sports itself, because it's your livelihood, it's your future.
I don't think we've ever
it's life or death, essentially.
Right, but I don't think we've ever thought about it that way.
No,
right. It's all of a sudden it's pops up because Malcolm Jenkins brings it to light, and it's like our best reason is a selfish reason when you think about it. Like, we need it in our living rooms to brighten up our lives, and I can't discount that because I want it too. Like, I would love to come in here one day and talk about a game result. I get that part of it selfishly, but then I go, you know, these guys have a gun to their head. They can't refuse, because if they refuse, they get branded. And they might not have their heart in it. So, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this. I need help.
But I do think there is a responsibility that has to be at least discussed. Even though I'm pretty pro-player when it comes to a lot of things, especially when it comes to all kinds of safety, especially with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But all the cameramen, all the play-by-play, all the color, all the producers, there are tons of jobs that rely on them.
No question about that. No question.
And I'm not saying any of that's more important than health. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that the players have to make some form of a value judgment beyond their own safety if they trust the protocol. Or perhaps they then have to maybe not go out to try to complete that job, not necessarily just for themselves and their teammates, but for the, like, the greater good of the economy.
Because
that's a factor, whether it's even a factor for us on this show. There are people who sell this show.
Yes.
And pay their bills and feed their families because Mike Missanelli comes to work every day.
Totally get it.
You know what I mean?
Totally get it. This is why I'm conflicted today. Because, you know, I look at these employees and I go, okay, these employees, you're right. You're right. I want to give everybody an opportunity to get back to work. And I go, those employees can control their situation a little better than the actual participant.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, it's safer for the, I'd like to see him get back. It's not, we can't legislate safety for the actual participants of the game, like, to the button down degree. We just can't. You can say all you want in protocol, but there's always going to be a risk of being in a locker room with guys. That guy went out somewhere the night before. He brings into the locker room. It's less controlled. And you can't expect these guys that they're going to be robotic in following all this protocol. I'd love to think that they could, but I know that they're not.
Right.
There's going to be some guy that messes up.
And all that it takes is one person either in or on the fringe to, God forbid, die. It'll just set everything off.
And I don't think it's just that. I think in the NFL, what about the coaches? Now, Doug Peterson and his staff is a young coaching staff. But what about up in New England? one player in a meeting, mm-hmm. goes up in New England, goes up in the meeting room with Belichick, and Belichick, forget guys, I don't want to, he has to be hospitalized mm-hmm. because his lungs are function is down. He's on a ventilator.
Yeah.
And he recovers, and he's fine. But what does the league do? The players are fine because the players are, it's been so far the majority, because these people think that young people are invincible. They're not. But the majority of young people are recovering. And I would imagine pro athletes that are well-conditioned, also the majority will recover. But there are a lot of older offensive coordinators, coaches. What does the league do if Belichick and Pete Carroll, who's almost 70 years of age, get it and they're hospitalized? Like, what do you do? Like, what responsibility do they have to their coaches? Their mm-hmm. coaches are arguably, in fact, to the league, the coaches are more important than any player. They swap out players quicker than they swap out coaches. You know what I mean? What do you do then?
I'm looking at this Malcolm Jenkins comment. He goes, football is a non-essential business and we don't need to do it. Now, the rationale for him saying I don't need to do it is I could get sick if I do it. Now, our rationale as a consumer is I need to have it because I need to eat popcorn while I'm watching the game in the comfort of my safe living room. So you put that on the scale. I have a hard time balancing that. All right, 610-632-0975. Kevin in Delaware starts us off. What's up, Kev?
Hey, Mike, how you doing,
Mike? Good, man. How you doing?
All right. If sports come back, I will watch it. But if it doesn't, I'm good with it. You know, if we get it back, it's going to be good for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the pandemic is going to shut it down again.
So you think, like, because it's the big tease now. We've been teased in that all these sports are going to come back. But the latest news is that the pandemic is increasing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, like, has that made you rethink it?
Yes. It's just too much that has to go right for them to pull this off, you know, for all, you know, all four, teams, you know, all four teams. Mm-hmm. For all sports, it's just too much to pull off.
All right, so you're feeling for a guy like Malcolm Jenkins. He says we don't need to do it, and what he implies in there is that because I could get sick doing it, so you have empathy for that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I mean, that's fair. I want to see where people are when it comes to that. You could be honest. If you don't have any empathy for it, you could be one of these fans say, well, their whole jobs are to perform, and they get paid to perform for us. I mean, you could always have that side of it, too.
Right.
All right, Kevin.
Mike. Thanks, Mike.
You got it, buddy. And I know how people are feeling about this. But it's the first time you really had to consider this, because everything has been the big tease. Everything is like, all right, the world is back. We have sports back. That has been the presumption over the last week.
Well, and what's unfortunate is I think when we all entered this space that we all now live in March, there was some feeling that, oh, it'll be temporary. Mm-hmm. This is going to blow over. We'll figure it out in a couple months. Well, a couple months is come and gone, and it's kind of been figured out, but not really, because if you look at the numbers mm-hmm. now nationally, they're increasing, and it's like, oh, well, this isn't going anywhere. So now what are the expectations?
Exactly. And in even a state like Texas, the governor now has shut it down again.
Yeah, he had to freeze everything.
Mm-hmm. Halts the plans to reopen.
And right there, that's where I think if we really want sports back, and it's not too late, what I mean is that mm-hmm. we're not yet in July. If we, the collective we, actually want sports back, the best thing we could do is to follow guidelines. That does, mm-hmm. that no longer means just lock yourself in the house.
Yes.
We now know what we can and cannot do mm-hmm. outside. If everyone did that, the virus itself would drop off, making all the players then safer, less likely to get it, and then we get sports because we don't get sick players. But instead, what's happening, not in this area, these listeners, for the most part, are doing a good job. Not all of them, not enough, mm-hmm. but for the most part. But if everyone, we're it's almost like we're going to cost us sports despite the fact that we want them.
Yes.
By not following the rules and mm-hmm. increasing any of their chances of getting sick, because most of them...
Right, basically it's our fault. We've increased the pandemic because everybody repelling against staying home and not congregating and not wearing masks and all that thing. We've been talking about this for the longest period of time. When it first started, people were planning to reopen. We went, too soon. I felt too soon. You know, we've all felt too soon. That's too mm-hmm. soon. Mm-hmm. People came out of the way, it's not too soon. You're on the other side. I'm on the side of not people not dying. They're crying out loud.
I mean, the EU is essentially tossing
it's
around the idea
ridiculous again.
Of not letting Americans travel.
Exactly. They're not going to travel.
No.
Canada doesn't want us either.
Nobody wants us.
The Toronto Blue Jays are in this position where they may have to move to Buffalo in order to play in Major League Baseball.
It's unbelievable.
No Americans are coming into Canada. We don't want you. You don't follow rules.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. Jerome in Elkins Park. Jerome, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, people. How
you doing?
There's not enough compass take points to look at what goes on here. But one thing we do know is that we, as a society, didn't have a handle on this thing from the start.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't handled well as far as this country. The prep time. Forget that. But then they had... states that saw the first ones that had it, the ones that were following, that were spaced out, didn't take the data that was received. They just, put it to the side. Oh, it's not going to happen here. We're spaced out. Or it's going to, blow over.
Yeah, they turned it into a right versus left issue instead of a human health issue.
Yeah. Just basically stupid. My thing is like this. Look, do I like to watch sports? Yeah. Is sports, the end-all, be-all? I'm not going to let that be the end all be all. I mean, if that is where my outlook or whatever is going to be, so-called happiness or, it's summer out. I mean, we're lucky that, maybe I'd feel different if it was cold and stuck inside, mm-hmm. but there are outlets to do. Weather's getting nicer. I mean, I just don't see, and I understand people having jobs, the fringe type of things that the follow suit on it. But if nothing at all, it's a domino effect. If the people, if society as a whole, did what they were supposed to, like Tyrone said earlier, which is a good point, which you concurred with and brought on, we're not showing what we should.
No, we're not. And I'm about to play you a soundbite that illustrates this very point.
Stay healthy, people.
All right, Gerald. Now, we're talking about, not doing the right thing. They're not to create the climate where we wouldn't be scared to start sports again. And yet, there are, first of all, Florida is being swamped with new cases. 5,000 more today after 5,000 yesterday. Okay, so here comes the commissioner's meeting in Palm Beach County. And the commissioners vote unanimously to make wearing masks mandatory. Not because they woke up one day and said, I just want to see people in masks. They did it because they're examining data. They're seeing the cases. They're seeing the emergency rooms. All the new tests of corona revealing that you test positive. So here comes the pushback. In Palm Beach County, they have angry residents pushing back against the wearing of masks. I don't know if news gets to these people's homes or what, but here's a woman who stands up to yell at the commissioners for unanimously voting to make masks mandatory.
You literally cannot mandate somebody to wear a mask knowing that that mask is killing people. It literally is killing people. And we the people, are waking up, and we know what citizens' arrest is, because citizens' arrests are already happening, okay? And every single one of you that are obeying the devil's laws are going to be arrested. And you, doctor, are going to be arrested for crimes against humanity.
I'm going to play this as many times as I can today. I cannot believe that came out of a human being's mouth.
See, I hear that, and I hear what she's citing is she's bringing religion into it, which I think could be partially problematic. And I think that we saw with Georgia early on, they kind of used religion as a barrier against in invoking any of the rules to protect against the virus, but it's science, which is why that's flawed. And it seems like that's just such an extreme argument against wearing a mask.
Where does she get that masks are killing people?
Well, so
where is that?
They're on certain social media and certain people. They're saying that breathing that in, they really believe that causes the problem. They're really trying to say that when really the
breathing
mask,
in the mask fibers.
No,
what?
Your own stuff. If you don't have enough ventilation, it'll kill you.
Well, she's also citing that it's not a God made everybody to breathe freely. So the mask is infringing on your right to breathe free.
So every surgeon, it's just every welder, every person that does construction that wears a mask all day long at work, all of them are also having a crime against humanity because they all wear masks at work and have for decades.
So all the data that proves that wearing mask can cut down on the virus coming to you or you passing it on is inaccurate data?
Yes.
It's basically what she's saying.
Well, like, that's the devil. That's why she blamed the doctor, because the doctor is the devil.
I just can't. I can't.
That's a very extreme. It's so extreme.
And they say that if you want to be open, and I understand people have to work. Like, I've been trying to be sympathetic to every single person because I understand that I'm getting to say this from work. But I wear a mask at work. Like, I don't wear a mask right this second because we can't, but I wear a mask. So do you, Mike. So do you, Natalie. So does everyone else. We all wear masks when we're moving around. The same rules we're asking everybody else to follow. And they say if everybody wore masks, 95%, they say by the end of the summer, it would prevent 30,000 deaths. 30,000.
What are you... I know I'm probably, you know, like in this case, this woman is wouldn't be receptive to an intelligent conversation. But what is the upside of not wearing a mask? What, like, I'm trying to get the payoff of not wearing a mask. What are you gaining exactly?
What it has become.
Freedom?
Yes, it has become a symbol for freedom.
Gaining freedom.
And it's become a political statement. If you wear a mask, and partially that's because somebody, I won't say who it was, said that if you wear a mask, it's a knock on me. Somebody said that. Basically, there are people who basically have taken sides with science. Science bad, non-science good.
Yeah.
And
So if they have to go to the hospital for something and the doctor has to do some kind of procedure or prescribe some kind of a medicine, they also would ignore that as well?
No, they take that.
Oh, they would take that.
Well,
so it's just selective. So doctors and scientists are saying you wear a mask is going to help protect your life. They don't want that. But if a doctor says you have to take this horse pill of antibiotic, they'll take that.
Yeah.
Now, what sense does that make?
It doesn't.
The majority of them would. Not all of them. But there's plenty of people who are like, there are people out there on social media, because that's the funny thing. People are using Facebook for some reason as their news source. But just as often on Facebook, you see somebody who last month or in March were saying they take a picture of themselves. Here's me walking around without a mask. And then in the next frame, they're like later on, they say, oh, anybody that's been around me, I just tested positive for COVID. Like, that's happening all over Facebook. They say there's thousands of cases of people who have at one point, because Facebook has all our data, were anti-mask on Facebook and now have caught corona and have said on Facebook, oh, now you should take it seriously because I caught it. That's happening all over the country. That's here, that's everywhere. There are people who were like very, very, oh no, don't wear one. And now are like, wait a minute, I caught it.
My unusual is that I go, okay, if an expert is telling me, expert in the field is saying, because I'm not the expert in the field. There's an expert in the field telling me, hey, if you wear a mask, it's going to be better. I go, no, it's not. In other words, like if I go into an oil refinery and they go, hey, you can't smoke a cigarette in the oil refinery. Like, they're the experts. I go, nah, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. I'll just smoke a cigarette. Like, what is that? Like, how do you just don't trust people that are supposed to be, like, knowledgeable in their field?
People don't want to believe. People are not believing it because they are choosing to believe something else. That's what it comes down to. There's so many conspiracies that are floating around on the internet that are feeding these beliefs that aren't necessarily based in any sort of truth, except it's just somebody's idea on what may be happening, when in reality, again, science is dictating this.
Yeah, Tom Nichols, he's a conservative commentator and writer for many years. He wrote a book I read called The Death of Expertise. And he got into this thing how there are people who are aggressively, all of a sudden, this is something very new, aggressively against those that know. And we're used to that at this job. Like, you'll talk about some fact, Mike, a sports fact, not an opinion, mm-hmm. and there'll be somebody that wants to call you to tell you your facts wrong. Like, we're used to that.
Yes.
The rest of the world, this is like their first time being exposed to people.
I get that sports talk example. You can't die if you disagree with me, though. You know?
But what I'm saying is it's the same mentality. Yeah. Even though you've done this every day for 40 years, you're wrong, Mike. And me, I've been doing this 40 seconds. I'm right. That same mentality goes to doctors don't know what they're talking about because this is the same mentality is my point.
All right. Yeah. All right. I guess I've been brought up to respect other people who are experts in a certain area because they work really hard to be an expert in that certain area. So I respect that.
Well, I was going to say, it seems to be a lack of respect for the people who've dedicated their entire lives to studying mm-hmm. science and medicine and viruses. It's just, no, we don't care what they have to say because what do they know? It's just a lack of respect for the profession.
All right. Well, it's funny to me, too, as AI would say. So, we'll talk about it. A lot of stuff on board. I want to alert you people in the Penn Ridge School District that you need to take a personal responsibility when I get to this issue a little later in the show. So I want anybody who's listening up there in Penn Ridge, up in Bucks County, to lend an ear because you get a bad egg up there and it's stinking the whole county. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 2:46, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. So we're closer to baseball, and again, I ponder whether the Phillies can do anything. All right, Tyrone, here's the situation. They have added a new manager.
Yep.
They added what I think is a quality starting pitcher, but he still hasn't really developed into that type of reliable guy yet in Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
And they added a shortstop, which moved the other shortstop to third base. And then Jeb Paxton to second base. And so with all that, and you know the weaknesses of their bullpen, they have to play the National League East, where three of the other teams are just a tad better, and the AL East. And we know that's a pretty potent division, too.
Yankees are the AL favorite for the World Series.
Yeah.
Dodgers, NL's favorite.
So, is it realistic that they can get a wild card berth in this five-team wild card situation, which didn't change from last year, knowing that their schedule is fairly tough?
No. It's not. No, had they extended the playoffs, which apparently there's still a window where if they decide to talk, and they have not spoken, apparently the ownership would be open to the extended playoffs. If they extended, they would probably have to get to third place. That means they would have to get past the Mets. Do I think that's realistic? Yes. Like, is that possible? Yes. For them to be one of the two out? No.
I guess what I'm saying, last year, they against all those teams, they went 36-40. So they went under 500 against those teams. So did they improve themselves enough with those three guys I just mentioned and a position change to make that realistic? To be better than sub 500 against those teams.
I think the Nats are worse. Losing Rendon. I do. I think the Nats are a little worse. Mm-hmm. I think the Mets losing Syndergaard are a little worse. I think the Braves are better. The Yankees are really good. I think they can be 40-36. Like if you took that percentage, maybe a couple of games better. No, unless I'm to believe that Jetpacks is going to take this leap that I'm that they say is possible. Like I need somebody to do something they didn't do last year.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, who are the candidates? Could Harper be better? Probably. Like he has it in him to be better. So if Harper's better, Didi hits and plays better defense, and Jetpacks takes a step, how many games would that be worth? Like I'm trying to look at what's realistic.
Yeah, I got
like
you.
If Jetpacks, he hit for decent gap power, he hit some doubles. If he's playing the same position more often, could he be better? I'm trying to look where they could be better. Like Harper is an MVP-ish level, which is possible. I'm looking for something. I don't think it's possible, but if Wheeler takes a step, there is a path. It's just not a likely path. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I look at like you made a point about the Nationals. Like, yeah, you're right in a field, but see, I think that is like totally overcomable, if that's a word, or balanced by the fact that their starting pitching is so much better than everybody else.
True, but they had a slow start last year. The same kind of, after 60 games, they wouldn't have made the playoffs last year when they won the World Series. It took a while for that lineup and for everybody to round into shape.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying there's a window at 60 games. Over 162, heck no, that pitching for the Nationals, I'm saying, but if the Nationals are 28 and whatever, 32, they don't get in. Phillies are 33, you know what I mean? Like, the Nats had a slow start. Like, the 60 games is part of the reason why, yeah, they'll be in the mix, but I don't think they're good enough. I don't. But I do think there's a path.
Okay.
Harper winning MVP, for example, which isn't crazy.
All right. Let's root them on.
I don't know. I think 60 games is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I am excited if they can do it. I am excited, but 60 games is such a small window. I'm just afraid of that, like, 2-8 stretch.
Yeah, then listen, I totally I don't think they have a chance to make the playoffs. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that I look at this team and I go, all right, they're okay. They're not playoff worthy in comparison to the other teams that they're going to have to beat out.
But last year after 60 games, they would have gotten in.
Yeah.
Last 2 years. That's why the 60 games to me is a wild card.
Okay. Let's go Ian in Newark. What's up, Ian?
Hey, Mike, I'm curious, man. My son and I played this game, this All-Star Baseball game on Kadeko with Ethan Allen game. Did you ever play that when you were a kid?
No.
Oh, you didn't play that? All right.
What game is it?
You put a disc in a spinner and you spin it in this baseball. You never played that? I'm surprised about that. No one knows about it. It's a great game. But we're watching a 1952 World Series. You know they didn't wear helmets, man. They're crazy.
Yeah.
How did they not wear helmets, though? I have to read a story about that. But
goalies didn't used to wear masks.
That's unbelievable, man. And before I get to my point, man, when you played high school basketball, did you guys ever complain about the shorts? Like, we watch these old games, and my son always brings it up. Like, did you guys ever complain about wearing those shorts?
Or was that was natural. That was the that was the natural length.
It's crazy, but I want to get to my point. Now, you said we should feel guilty about watching sports. Like, I became an avid reader ever since the pandemic and listened to your show. It's really got me through all this. But it's a scientific fact that sports help people in general, though. It is essential, though.
It's not essential. It's not essential.
Well, it's a scientific fact that it prevents depression and helps relationships get stronger with people in general. That's just a scientific, it's a resource. That's been
That's because it's been with us. So, like, you know, you don't have the other side of it. Like, you can't measure what we would have done without the sports. Like, we would have found other recreational things that would have taken
the
place.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. But when you take sports from America completely right now, it's just not a healthy.
All right. So you lean more on the side of the consumer than the health of the actual participant. Well, that makes you cold and callous, Ian.
Yeah, I get that. But look at this, though. If you ask 100% of people, right, 80% of people will go in that bubble, play football, and play because they make millions of dollars. That's why I don't have empathy. You told me right now you give me $500,000 to go play football. I would go play, and I think a lot of people would play.
Well, that's because you're not used to making the money they made. They've already made some money that they can stash away.
But that's true, though. But Mike, doesn't that make them kind of like?
They're not gonna admit, listen, 1 year salary is something you're never gonna get back. I get it. But it's not like they're gonna like stop earning. They're gonna earn next year.
That's true. But now with NFL though, don't you think the contracts are different from baseball and basketball? So NFL players are gonna have more incentive to play though, don't you think?
Why?
Because they don't make the money. Like you look at baseball players and basketball players, they're the richest players in the nation.
Some of them are, but not the majority of them are.
80% of them.
The majority of them aren't. The majority of them are making, it's still a lot of money, but they're not.
My point is, NFL players have a 3-year lifespan, and let me get to this, though.
But they're not playing this year, so you restart it next year. They're preserving their bodies for 1 year.
Why can't the NFL start in January and in May? Give them more time to get the vaccine, the treatment for it. Why is that not in the...
Yeah, I guess it could be done. When did Ian get to be so controversial? What happened? Ian, all of a sudden now every call is controversial. When did he turn?
I wonder if something's going on in his personal life.
Maybe.
I think he sounds like he's edgy, and then he calls in, and that edge is full of vinegar.
No sweetness.
Full of vinegar.
He used to be a sweet guy.
Yeah.
No sugar. It's salt now, just salt. Come on, buddy.
Well, everybody would wait. Of course, you get people that would like. Just say you're making $35,000. Well, of course, you look at it differently. You go, oh, they're going to pay me $500,000. I go out there and risk my life. Everything's relative. Those guys are used to making that level of money, so they go, I got money stashed away and it can last a year with my family. Next year, it's going to start when it's safer. It's really an easy call for them.
Right, and a guy who makes 35 might not go back to a job for 17. They may look, exactly. You know what I'm saying? He might look for another job.
Yeah, like you can't put it like, people always do this. Well, if it was me, you're not in the same category.
No.
Yeah, we look at those guys, they make so much more money than us. I would do that in a heartbeat if I had a chance. It's relative. The 3 o'clock hour is up next on the Mike Misnelli Show. We'll continue this conversation. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.